Alright, everybody, welcome in and thank you for tuning into episode number 11 of On the Draw. I think it's 11.
Yes.
Last one was 10, that would make this one 11. So we're going to go with 11 on this one. We have some sweet set 2 shenanigans to speak of, and we're all excited about Hex again, because it's been a while since we've been this excited about Hex, maybe since Alpha. Actually, the last time I think I was this excited about Hex was when they did that huge change to all the cards, when they changed the one we covered when we were talking about like what could have been in Hex.
The big changeover. I don't remember the date exactly, but the big patch.
Yeah, that was probably the last time I was this excited about Hex again. But so we've been doing tons and tons of drafts, as well as tons of preparation for the Blood Cup, as well as some brewing to write some articles on and talk about for the Hex Open. So that's what we're going to speak about on this episode, because it's been fun. So, last weekend was the release weekend of set 2. We got all those alternate art field gifts. I got 0, but that's not the point. The point is, everyone else got some, and that was what it was all about.
For shame.
Actually called Mythic Fishbomb Gets 0, and Everyone Else Gets Everything Weekend. That's actually the name of it on the official site. But why don't you guys tell us a little bit about what you guys did, what archetypes excited you, and all that kind of stuff, what you guys have worked with.
Well, by the way, with us this week is Karn.
And
Dermy's actually not here, which is surprising, but Karn is here. How are you doing, Karn?
I'm doing pretty well. I decided maybe I'll just try and pretend to be in Dermy this week.
So. I think he was just hiding in the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot to do the intro. Actually, Too excited.
Episode best. Yeah.
So, tell us, both of you, about your weekends.
Well, release weekend was fun. It was interesting. The format was really cool. The 2-2-1s are fun. They're a lot of fun to draft, a lot of fun to play. But the 2-2-2s were really cool because you were cracking packs, you were getting cards that you didn't have. And it was a lot of fun to see what decks people were playing. Mill was kind of a pain to play against. But it's kind of cool that it's in there. I like that the archetype is there. And I guess, really, the cards have to be pretty much opened well for there to be a legitimate mill deck in draft. I've tried it a couple of times and it fell short, but I've gotten wrecked by it a couple of times, so I think it's possible.
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun with the mill. I was able to 3-0-1 draft with a mono sapphire mill, but I got pretty lucky on the cards. I was able to get 4 daisies and 4 charge hulks, and just like, I even got my opponent to 0 cards on turn 5 one game. It was just, like, absurd. And then the whole rest of the backup was amazing as well. But, it's definitely a really fun deck if you can get the right parts for it. I don't know if we're going to be able to keep doing that so effectively at 2-2-1, though. Because you lose out a whole nother pack of daisies and charge hulks and all that. So.
Yeah, one thing I heard a lot of people complain about was, the abundance of Tri-Shard Humans.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people would think it was, like the best deck. To me, it wasn't really the best deck, it was just, like, the most played deck. Because the cards in there, like, there's a lot of great humans. Like, the Vanguards are crazy good. They have a lot of sweet rares, like Alowyn. I lost to Alowyn, he was filthy. The Azure Mage, Fate, Sorceress chick, the Socket Inspire chick, whatever her name is, she's disgusting. Lost to her. There's a lot of mostly I lost a lot of things, but seeing like the abundance of humans, I'm sure made a lot of people have like, a distaste for them and try to like avoid playing them, which is why we saw like a lot of people playing Mill. We saw a lot of bunnies, which I think is a pretty sweet deck in 2-2-2. It's also really sweet in 2-2-1. But 2-2-2, you get like a lot of grave nibblers, and you get more of the really sweet set 2 bunnies that didn't exist in set 1 because they're from set 2. So like a lot of those cards, were, like a lot of those type of decks that came out were kind of interesting to play and interesting to see other people play. One deck that I thought was kind of sweet, but I did it in 2-2-1, but still could be good in 2-2-2, was the blood like a blood ruby charge deck with like the charge bolts and the the ritualist guy gets unblockable whenever you gain charge. Like, I was winning games when I was at 2 resources the entire game, just because you just crush people with your evasiveness and just pure aggression. So there's a lot of sweet decks in there, and I'd like to see more 2-2-2 come out. I wouldn't mind seeing them, you know, throw that out there for like the VIP weekend. Would be kind of cool to see it potentially again. Mostly because I just want to build my collection set too, and everything. Really like there's been so much of the 2-2-1 where you get to the third pack and you're like, man, I don't want any of this. Like, none of these cards are set too. That's just nothing. But it does lead to getting past sweet things. Like, I got past some Mystic Spirit Walkers and like these bomby set one cards that like just be like, yeah, it's not set two. I don't want it anymore. So it does lead to some interesting interactions now with the 2-2-1s. But it is a little sore to go from sweet 2-2-2s.
Yeah, it's kind of sad at times. Like you're drafting a sweet deck, and then you open your first set one pack, and it's like, oh god, it's like I have no idea what I'm gonna do with this. But my latest draft, I opened pack 3, pick 1, drew, which goes in literally any draft deck. So I was happy about it. But it's kind of cool. Like, it puts other things into play. Like, Darkspire is better in 2-2-1 is in 2-2-2.
Yeah.
It always will be. Just because you get the Priestesses and the Enforcers if you want them. I mean, they're not great, but they go with the flow with the whole deck. And then, like, doing other things with draft are nice in 2-2-1. Like, I could see it's a toss-up between mill for me. Because 2-2-2, you have more daisies, you have more charge hulks, and things like that. But with 2-2-1, it opens it up to maybe you open a Chronic Madness. It's not great as a one of, but it can help. But you get Twisted Fate. Is that the right name? I think it is. Yeah. Which is really good in 2-2-1. I've seen people do really well. That alongside a daisy is pretty devastating, along with some card draw. Like you open a Zodiac Charm or something like that. So it's been really interesting. There's a lot of different archetypes. And back to the humans thing, I think tricolor humans is really, really good if somebody gets into them early and then people fall into the other archetypes and he doesn't get hate drafted out too bad.
Yeah.
But I think that tri-humans can be pretty poor if there's a couple of people trying to draft it at the same time. I think that's the spot when you have a draft where there's two different people trying to draft humans. I think that's the spot where dwarves really shines, because they both get subpar decks, and you're basically getting the cream of the crop for your dwarf deck, and it can be pretty potent even with like a couple of Hornet bots and a couple of Overdrivers. That right there can win you the game out of nowhere.
Yeah,
just because of the severe lack of, not lack of removal, but I'd say top end removal isn't really a thing in the 2-2-1 format. So like a 7-6 Hornet bot can pretty much just end the game.
Yeah, unless they have like an inner conflict or a repel, but that's
Or like Miser.
Yeah.
Like out of nowhere. So.
Yeah, one thing I forgot to talk about the dwarf deck. The dwarf deck was one that I saw a few people play, and I watched like Light Reaper and whatnot phase off against it. And it could be really, really brutal. Like, you get a few Construct Foremans.
Yeah. And that card's insane.
That's filthy.
Like,
yeah, like, that. I want to play that card in Constructed. Like, turn one, Forge, turn two. Turn one, Forge, plus that guy, even 3-3 on turn one. That's awesome. They get 4 power on turn one.
I think Foreman was, like, I was able to draft it once, and I got 3 Foremans in the deck, and that was easily the best card in the deck, like, every single match. I was able to 3-0 that draft pretty easily. I was avoiding dwarves for like my first 3 or 4 drafts, even though it was possible I could have gone into it. I'm talking about for 2-2-2 for release weekend. And then I just like started seeing other people do really well with it, and I was watching more streams, and I was like I was avoiding it because I didn't like it so much in set one. And I just figured, well, you know, whatever, it's dwarves, it might not be that great. But then I was able to draft it, and the first time I went, I just got like, everybody seemed to be passing them. Nobody realized how good Construction Foreman was. I don't know if it's still like that, but definitely nobody realized it then. And I was getting them like the last 3 cards in the pack. I was seeing Construction Foremans, and bot shops and hornet shops or whatever, and it was just really good.
Bot shop seems crazy. Like, I read that. I never actually read the card because there was a lot of words on it. I was like, well, let's avoid that. And then I actually read it today. I was like, wow, that's like just free draw cards and make the spell free. Like, that's disgusting.
Yes and no. I mean, it's good. It's kind of slow. It's a little slow.
I mean, it is 3 mana a turn when you're in an
Yeah, I mean,
aggressive dwarf
that's a
deck.
little slow.
But
Yeah, but you're in a top deck
yeah,
mode,
when
like
you
that's
get into
pretty
top
slow. Well, if
deck
you
mode, or you like, say you like play out a one drop and then tunnel something and then play out another tunnel and another one drop, then your hand's like almost empty and you play out a bot shop, start tapping with your worker bots, etc. And
Yeah, like,
yeah.
the dwarf decks seem like they go into top deck mode fairly often, so being able
It
to
makes
bot shop your way to to fill your hand up is pretty
The
sweet.
dwarf deck a lot better at late game. You can
Yeah,
keep going.
exactly.
Yep. I've been having fun with Teapot in draft.
Oh yeah.
Teapot can be a lot of fun. You can like let your curve go a little crazy, let it go up a little higher. It's been a lot of fun.
I opened it one time. I ended up not making the main deck though, because I had like 31 playables and I just had to make a bunch of cuts.
That
That's also another thing I
happens.
noticed. Like, I just have 30 playables pr basically every draft, and it's all about making cuts. I don't know if maybe I'm just like sticking to my guns too early and not opening myself up to other stuff, but I don't know. I won 4 of my last 6 drafts, like first place over the 2-2-2, and like just always cutting playables all the time. There's a lot of good cards in the set.
Yeah.
Yeah, we said this before, but I mean, it bears repeating. Set 2 power level versus set 1 power level is disgustingly obvious when you do 2-2-1.
No, it's off the
Like,
charts. Yeah.
the last pack always seems like a full of, the first pack always seems like a full of last
Yeah.
picks, because set 2 looks so much better.
Except if you're in Sapphire, because you always love opening
Oh
Buccaneers
yeah.
in draft.
That's true.
So,
Yeah.
you're good. They're all over the
I mean,
place
th yeah,
usually.
they're obviously still the good cards from set 1, like the Buccaneers, the Corpse Flies, the obviously
Murders.
sweet, yeah,
Yeah,
the
like
obviously
there's
sweet
yeah.
rares you open
Yeah,
too.
but just
Like,
like your
I got past an
average
Alexander with
common,
an Alouette in my deck before.
like there's just going to be like 5 or 6 cards in your set one pack that you're not going to want to play even if you're in that deck. But then like in the set two packs, basically all the way down, there's playable cards.
But there are a few things that caught my attention when I was playing the 2-2-2s, and some cards that made me want to think about playing Constructed. What cards did you guys see that kind of make you want to turn your head to Constructed after playing some? We'll stick with commons and uncommons, because obviously there are the rares are obviously like crazy for Constructed, but some commons and uncommons you guys are looking forward to playing in some Constructed when you're brewing for your Blood Cups.
Well, for Blood Cup, I've been looking at Paladin of the Necropolis. That is making me want to go back to Blood Diamond life gain.
Ping,
That old thing.
ping.
That I ran that in one of the HTP tournaments before and went like X and two, got like 9th place or something, 10th place. But it was a really fun deck back then, and now with that plus maybe put some monsoons in there, the good stuff. It's mostly still a set one deck, but those couple of cards I think might actually put it back into viability.
Yeah,
Yeah, what do you think?
we've played a couple of games, my Ruby Wild beatdown deck versus your Paladin deck, and it can go off at times.
Yeah.
You can get draws that can be pretty brutal. There's obvious a couple of hate cards that kind of take that out of the equation, like Emberspire Witch.
Yeah.
But it's pretty strong. It's an interesting deck. It's I like it because it's something that really hasn't done well in the past, and it's having a resurgence, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Like, I've been testing mostly with Ruby Wild, just beat down plan, like value troops, Constantina And Warrior of Andronicus and Jags and Lord Alexander and Wrathwood Master Moss. It just seems like it's the curve is there, and it's not like it doesn't ever, like, even when you get a bad draw, it always seems to be decent by the end of the game. Even if you lose, like, your draw fixes itself after a while because of the curve. And it's been really nice. It's consistent. I tried the three-color version for a while, and it was a little too clunky for my liking. There's a couple of good cards, and I guess in the right meta, the three-color version, or a three-color version, is probably better. But I think now, not knowing what's going on in the metagame, I think it's just going to be better to go with something that's a little more tuned and a little more consistent. So I'm going to be tweaking that a little bit more. I'm going to be in the Blood Cup, or by the time this goes up, it would have already happened. So the following week, you'll find out
you mean
you how I did.
You already won.
Yes. just looking forward. But I'm gonna work on that, and there's a couple of more strategies. Like, there's some tempo strategies that I'm interested in that I'm gonna work on. I look forward to peeking into a control deck, even though I'm not necessarily a control player. But we'll see how that goes.
I did want to note another thing that the Blood Diamond deck got was Withering Touch, which I think is going to be a pretty decent player in Constructed, at least for a lot of the blood decks, obviously, but just like being able to, you know, go turn one Scrivener, turn two Paladin, and then turn three take your opponent's Extinction out of their hand, like, you know, it's just it gives the deck a whole nother dimension. It gives you another way to fight Extinction.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a lot of key cards that a lot of these sort of niche decks were missing from set one were given to us in set two. Withering Touch being one of them. Crackling Rod, I feel like, is definitely a card that's going to make some of the more aggressive, like, Blood Ruby decks, or, you know, just more aggressive Blood decks in general, more viable for the fact that you don't necessarily always want to straight murder something, or you can't always murder something you need to hit. So the -2/-2 being permanent is also sweet for dealing with things like Master Moss, which will just die after it gets blocked. Ramps to charge power, such as Poke.
If anybody's still playing Inquisitors, all that stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, killing an Inquisitor and also making it so it's always
so
dead
to
forever.
Know if an Inquisitor gets buffed to minus defense, then when it comes back to your hand, you can still use it. It's just a debuff card,
yeah,
and it'll keep coming back. So
it'll be a one
I've
negative one.
I've done that with a couple of cards.
Yeah, I've
just,
done that
you
as
just
well.
Keep playing.
Yeah, if your Inquisitor gets awesome. Zeroed or something, you can still keep playing it every turn for -2 power.
It's an alternate mode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know Mantic did that to great effect in the.
Oh yeah, he drew like five cards a turn because of Mirror Knight. It was disgusting.
Great.
The one card that I've been like, I don't know why. Like, I guess I do know why. One card I've been like most excited about is Keeper of the Wounded Petal. To me, that card just seems really, really
I think
powerful.
It's sweet.
It's a one cost that can get to be.
I think it's
like,
fine.
Turn two could be a 2/2, turn three could be a 3/3, and like you just have a pretty aggressive beater as a one drop. I like that kind of card.
And Dormy's not here, so what I'm gonna say is that the card's horrible. And
I mean,
if you're playing that on turn one and you want to be drawing other bunnies, like, that's fine. Like, go ahead and do it. But your 2/2 is really not that scary. And if you want to keep just drawing 1/1s and 2/2s, just go ahead. Like, it doesn't, like, it's not a thing.
It doesn't seem like
the power level's there enough for it to be like Gorefeast. Like, yeah, if you're playing bunnies with the Gorefeast or something, like, with a power level on top of it just being bunnies, I think it's going to be good or decent. Like, Bunny Oath could be a thing. I don't, probably not, but it could be.
To be fair, I thought Bunny Oath was good against Gorefeast to begin with.
It's like Queen's Guard. Because
you make a million blockers to deal with their attacks.
It's exactly like Queen's Guard. Queen's Guard is the one drop where if you have a 3 threshold and you get, or if you have 2 threshold and you gain a threshold, it gets +1/+1, and then every threshold after that it gets +1/+1. It never, yeah, but it never like it doesn't win you the game ever. Like it's fine. It helps with your curve, I guess, but it's not a game changer. And I think that's the same way about the wounded pedal. I think cut that out and play a different 2-drop or a 3-drop. Like there's great 2-drops and 3-drops in Wild that I think are better than playing Shinhair. Like
I mean, there definitely are. I'm just saying, if I had to choose a common or uncommon that I'm excited about,
Shinhair actually has potential in Constructed this time around. If you go Blood Wild, because they got quite a few powerful stuff. Like if you have the Ambusher and Grave Nibbler, plus of course Monsoon. I mean, like you really start getting places with that. I think the new Sacrifice Blood Champion Banoshi or whatever. I think that that could actually be really legit. Good combos with whatever Shroomshaw, your Ambusher, your Monsoon. I don't know. It just sounds really good to me. I feel like there's definitely a deck to be made there. I haven't made it myself yet, just because I've been tinkering with things that are probably more likely to be viable. But I think it has a chance.
I think I was tinkering with it a little bit too, with like because I don't know, turn one that dude, turn two Burrow Grave Nibbler, turn three Slam Monsoon, like that seems kind of sweet to me regardless. Even if he's like a 2/2, that's still like 8 damage on turn 3. That's not bad.
I think people are undervaluing just slamming Monsoon on turn 3. I really do.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's like, just bury it. And, like, on turn 3, if you slam that, turn 4, you're swinging for 4. Most likely, if you're on the play, most likely they're not going to have something that's going to be able to block that and kill it profitably. So it's just a great play. It's a great
You're swinging for 5, not 4. It has rage 2.
Right, yeah, 5, sorry. 5.
Because it needed rage
2. Yeah. Dude, was a good enough. Well, you can ask Phoenix. Literally yesterday... I saw, like, this whole time I was reading Monsoon, I thought it was like the most insane card in the set. And then yesterday I borrowed a couple from Phoenix in order to test some decks, and I saw it have rage 2. I was like, what? This card has rage 2? Like, that's just absurd. I thought the card was amazing without rage at all. Like, that's, I don't know, the card's crazy.
Its only drawback is that it's a unique. That's the only drawback on the card. It couldn't be costed better. Otherwise, it wouldn't. They couldn't.
It's not even a double threshold. It's still a 3-3 exactly. 3/3 like at the very least. Yep. Even on defense, it's like, I don't know. The card's absurd.
I like that though. There's got to be those cards in every set. Like it was Angel of Dawn in set 1.
Yeah.
Kind of.
That or Angel Vampire of Dawn King, was or Vampire King. As
it's a toss up between those. Or Mastery of Time maybe could be enthroned in the same thing, like in the certain deck. It could be that powerful. But like Monsoon's just like ridiculously powerful, and I like seeing that. Like it's just one of those cards. I've tried to put it in the card decks that it probably shouldn't be in. But
I mean, splashing for Monsoon's hardly wrong.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
It's single blood threshold, and it also helps fight. I think you could have also has rage 2 as a 3-drop. Like that's.
I think you could have a sideboard package for Monsoon. Like you could just straight up have a Monsoon sideboard package, where you shift into a X blood deck as opposed to an XX deck. You know what I mean?
It still seems worth just playing Monsoon main deck.
Yeah. Like, but even if you're not playing against Extinction, you just go out of your way to make trades while it's underground, and then when it comes back up, you gain like 5 cards. Like,
that's the best part about them is you can put out troops that like the opponent wouldn't think that you would block with, and you just start blocking, and they're like, okay, I'll just keep attacking. He's gonna keep blocking.
Oh, I want to say like, also,
you can't do that.
That's another one of the reasons why I think Crackling Rod is going to be good, because even if they have Monsoon to get it back, it just dies back immediately because it's going to be 0 toughness, a lot of their guys, if they Crackling Rot it.
Crackling Rot's a little slow and a little weak.
Well, I'm just saying, I was playing against it earlier, and I experienced that situation a couple of games in a row, and I felt like Crackling Rot was pretty good against Monsoon.
Yeah.
I think Crackling Rot is actually better than Murder in some decks.
Yeah. And against
in some decks, yes. I agree. In some decks, yeah.
Yeah.
I think on the grand scheme of things, I think that Murder's a better card. You know, like Crackling Rot, it's a 3-drop for -2/-2 that's kind of off curve a little bit, especially with the power level and the toughness of the troops that's in set 2. So arguably it's a little slow, but I would agree that in some decks with the charge coming into effect, I think that it's better. But I think that if you're playing Blood, you should probably have a split of them anyways, just to be safe. So we'll see. I think it's a good card. The whole Crackling cycle is good, except for Crackling Boon, because it's terrible.
Yeah.
And Karn, are you playing any of those in your Paladin deck?
Though I am playing
I
am playing the Diamond Mentor in the sideboard, because I think that's actually legit. Mentor of the Wind.
That's fine.
Like,
it's
a 1/3 for 2, and it gains you 7 life when it dies. Like, that's really good against aggro, in my opinion. Like, if you're going up against Gorefeast, like, they're going to have a hard time with it.
Yeah. Kind of push yourself outside the range of the deck.
Yeah.
At that point.
And it gives you a good blocker in the early turns. So.
Yeah.
So, there was another deck I've been fooling around with, and Phoenix knows the wrath of this one, was Sight of the Sun combo deck. And when playing that deck, actually, one card came to my attention that was absolutely tremendous, and that was Dishonorable Death. When I first read the card, I thought it was void target troop, and then they discard every troop with the same name in their hand. I didn't realize it was the same cost, and it was every card with the same cost.
Yeah.
I assumed it was just troops. It's basically like a future extinction. If you hit the right card and you just make them discard it, like I hit Phoenix with it and just he had discarded his entire hand. It has the ability to be filthy, and I believe it's a basic action, which is kind of a downside.
Yeah,
no, but that's fine. You couldn't print that as a quick action.
Yeah, no, I mean like
you couldn't.
You can see it as a downside though. I mean everything's better as a quick action, right? So well, obviously it has to be a basic action. Would be better as a quick action. I'll say it regardless. But yeah, that card just blew me away.
Let's just make them all quick actions. Like, all of them are quick actions. That'd be ridiculous. I wouldn't want to live in that world.
Here, though. If you want to read about that deck, I'm going to be putting it up. Well, Karn's putting it up tonight, which will be up Friday.
Yeah.
Well, that's... You gotta think in
Thursday
the past.
Thursday night.
You gotta speak in the past.
Thursday night,
you guys can look at it 4 days
Friday.
Ago.
That's how it works.
Or three, whatever.
Yeah. But yeah,
just,
so
as long as I don't meet myself and the world doesn't explode, we're good.
Yeah,
that's a time thing.
What rares that haven't been super spoken about have impressed you guys from your testing?
I haven't gotten a whole lot of testing in with it, but Stormcloud is really sweet.
Stormcloud is sweet. Yeah. I've gotten some testing with that. Stormcloud is sweet. It's a little slow, obviously. I mean,
the fact that it's basic is the biggest downside. It would be much better if it was a quick action.
But I will agree. But if you do ever get to pop a Stormcloud that has like 4 counters on it, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You can tap down stuff. You can kill them. You can draw cards. Like, and it always works out where like they have a 4 toughness troop on the board. And you pop a 4 counter Stormcloud, and an exhaust one, 2 damage ones, and a draw one pops out. So you get to exhaust it, kill it, and then draw a card off of it after you attack the next turn. And you that, by the way, with the draw ones, you never want to pop the draw ones until you attack with them unless they have a blocker in the air. Because if you do it the other way, you're obviously losing out on value because you're getting 1 damage.
Yeah, or block and then sack it after you block.
Or block and then sack it, exactly. But, like, it always works out. Like, the math always seems to work, so you can kill a creature and then end up drawing a card for some reason. It's weird. But it's a great card.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you have a Mirror Knight out, your entire... Like, all the guys you make even draw your cards, which is pretty filthy.
Oh, man, that's nasty.
Yeah. Another one I got brought to my attention when I was playing against Phoenix was Jags. Obviously, like, if you read the card, it seems ridiculous, but I never actually read the card.
He's again, awesome.
Has a lot of words on it, so I tend to avoid those.
Yeah, it's too many words.
But yeah, that card's really, really good. And I didn't realize why. I guess I probably should have realized this, but like it stacks when you're doing things like Master Moss. So when it dies, the second one, the Moss Link comes back, and now it deals 4x damage. Like that's really, really cool.
Yes.
So that card also is one that I would definitely be looking out for.
By the way, I've been starting to test with, speaking of Jags and interactions like that, I've been starting to test with Time Step Magistrate.
Oh, yeah?
Where you can blink out humans. And with double damage and draw cards and, like, die and you draw cards and the other, like, the Inspire troops and everything, especially, like, Azure Fade Sorceress, you can blink her out with the damage gem on her. And she'll trigger off of herself, which is a pretty cool interaction. So there's a lot of stuff going on there, but you can like blink stuff out to get double Inspire triggers and reset other things. It's kind of cool. Even though the card's not like off the walls crazy, I think it has a home in certain Inspire decks when you're trying to do a little bit of trickery on the side.
I do want to ask, what do you guys think of the 2-drop random Inspire?
I have not been impressed with him at all. Every time it's like where it gets its socketed powers, it's not a socketed troop. Kind of a bad card in that situation. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of annoying. But there's been some times where it's been like +1/+1 on a 2-drop. That's pretty insane. Like especially if you're playing like a Blessing of the Fallen deck.
Yeah.
Maybe Blessed of the Fallen with that. Could be good, because you could get some stupid, like, Inspire triggers off of it.
I was able to draft it once.
You get, like, Elite Pyromancer off of it, something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it gets really good.
Yeah, my only experience with it so far is I drafted it one time, and I think I got it into play twice, and I got Flight and Spell Shield out of it. And I was like, this is pretty good. I don't know. How many different Inspire effects are there actually for it to choose from?
A ton.
There's probably 20, I would say. Somewhere around that range. Yeah. 16 to 20, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, the reason the Inspire effects are on the troops they are because they want them to be higher costed. So, like, he can get some really disgusting ones, like the Spell Shield would be absurd.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous.
Double damage would be gross. Because, like, again, if you're playing, like, the Tri-Shard Human deck that, like I was playing with the Blessing of the Fallen, you play him out turn two, he gets whatever Inspire he gets, and then if he gets, say he gets double damage, then you later on play a Legionnaire Gwyn, like that's a one shot, like 100% of the time they get in shot. So it seems like it could be awesome, and obviously it's Colin's vanity card, so I'm sure it's meant to be awesome, and it'll probably have a spot at some point. Right now, I think the format's probably going to be too aggressive, which will lead into our next thing, what we'd be expecting to see in the Blood Cup, even though it's already happened in the future world that you guys live in. Past world?
You get future, a look future. Into the past.
Yeah, it's you get to what see what we're thinking and say. How wrong we were.
I think that...
But yeah, when a format is first blossoming, as this one is, like a concubunny, that was bad.
Wow.
You're bound to see like tons of just
that's awesome.
Ridiculous aggression. So you're gonna see a lot of probably the Gore Master charge decks. So they're probably gonna be something.
Yeah, that card. Just
gonna be excited about that
good.
Card.
As long as people can get their crackling
nice,
vortexes.
She's good. As long as your thresholds are right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, not so much.
I mean, you could easily.
Yeah, you could easily play Mono Ruby right now.
Yeah.
Or even
plus
like a
he's an orc.
Deck with like, yeah,
he got your Ridge Raiders.
That is a thing. That's a combo.
Plus,
yeah,
you're also a
furious Taskmaster
because you're playing Ruby.
Yeah,
you get to attack for one.
So. Yeah, there are definitely. You're going to see a lot of Gorfies.
I think we're just
going to
see tons
and
tons of aggro. Like that's a really good decision for the first tournament of a format, like.
Yes, but there's gonna be those things like I've been running into the same guy in the Proving Grounds in the random queues just to see what people are thinking. Like I've been testing the waters, and there's this guy playing a Blood Wild Splash Ruby deck that's just like random cantrips and mana fixing or threshold fixing and like stuff like that. And he just wrecks me. And I'm like drawing well, I'm
What does he
playing
beat you
well,
with?
and I just get
Like, what's the
wrecked.
win con?
Like nothing. Like a heavy welding bot because he's been able to cycle a bottle Vitae out of the graveyard 5 times because I've bounced it 5 times. Like it's ridiculous. It's just nonsense. And I'm like, how do I beat this? I don't even know. It's like I just gotta switch
Think you
decks.
play a
I need
different deck then,
extinction.
bro.
And then he's drawn too many cards. And like it's things like that that's so cool that like random stuff's just hanging around. I mean, I played against Sapphire Wild Rootfather decks that have been either hit or miss. Sometimes you just get run over, and sometimes they just don't draw well. There's some life gain decks around. There's quite a bit of aggro running around that I've seen. I wish there was more like constructed queues firing off. I think that's better practice than
Yeah.
anything else. Just they just
By more
people
you
haven't
mean
been
one.
doing it. I think there's a lot of new people running around, and the people that aren't new are testing specifically for the Blood Cup, so they're not joining tournaments. They're just testing in their testing groups. But
Yeah.
it's been a little tricky trying to guess what's going to be floating around. I think mainly aggro is going to be around. There's going to be a lot of copies of Gorefeast. I have slided 2 copies of Gorefeast into the Ruby Wild deck that I'm running currently, just because it's another turn 4 way to win.
Yeah.
It's not the only turn 4 way, but it's a 2 of. There's one extra in my sideboard. If I think I need to speed up a little bit, I can side that in. And it's been running well. Like, it's turn 4 kills are a thing with Ruby Wild, so hopefully I don't run into a lot of daisies and get embarrassed, but I think it's a possibility. So
I
we
think.
will see how I feel in the next podcast when we
Oh,
talk
yeah.
about how the Blood Cup went.
How you went 0-3 drop.
It's possible.
Oh.
It is possible.
No, but I do think that aggro is going to be the best choice going into this cup, like just for anyone who's going to be playing, because with so early in the set, you really don't know what the meta is going to be like at all, and you want to be the one that's presenting the threats, not the answers, because there's a lot of wrong answers that you could have. But if you just put a threat on the board, they have to have the right answer. So
Yeah, control decks are really hard to
yeah, at the beginning
build
of a format,
like this. I would
it's
even say like next week it's still going to be tricky to figure out how to build a really well-performing control deck. It just you have to have such a tuned look at the metagame to be able to figure out what removal you're playing, how many draw cards you're playing, that kind of effect. What kind of defensive troops are actually decent, and which ones are just trash? So, you're gonna see a lot of aggro. You're gonna see some mid-range decks, quite a bit of mid-range decks, I would guess.
yeah, I
And
think.
then there's gonna be some combo decks, and there's gonna be some burn decks.
I don't know how many
Burn's the
combo
deck.
decks we're really gonna get.
Yeah, I want to
There's
see one
some
Sight of the
like
Sun deck
there's the
top
Blood
eight.
Cup's gonna have a couple of the Sight of the Sun decks. It's gonna happen.
Maybe we'll get them. I don't think they're gonna do well.
If they draw well, they can win it.
Hey, I mean,
It's possible.
we
Like, they
saw the
could
deck
combo off the whole
perform, and it was
tournament.
pretty sweet. It was pretty sweet. It had, like, the sideboard is definitely pretty sweet against aggro, but,
And that's
yeah,
probably not even the best build of the deck.
I do want to
That was
say,
probably
my
the kind
worst build
of
of the deck,
card.
because I built it.
if there is a control deck that does well this weekend, I think it's going to be Mono Sapphire. Like
Probably.
they're just
Yeah.
still good, and they got more good
And
cards
it
on
got
top of
better.
it.
And lost nothing, so yeah.
Yeah.
Like, nothing lost anything, right? Because
Zodiac
it was just shit.
Divination is an
I don't know.
amazing card.
It's
It is so good.
because it's a basic, I don't think it's actually going to make the cut in a lot of the decks.
Jace's ingenuity.
In the decks that you're playing, it's gonna be fine that it's that slow. Because you're already playing the tempo game. If you're playing Sapphire that heavy, to be playing a 5-drop of Sapphire that's draw cards. You're gonna be playing Time Ripples and
I don't know if
maybe
you can afford
Buccaneers and
tapping
maybe
out
Kralks and
for
stuff.
drawing 3 cards. Like,
I think you can.
you can
I
afford
absolutely think you can.
paying 5 for a Grolk because it Ops completely stalls the board and they can't do anything next turn, most likely. Or you're fine paying 5 for a Mastery of Time because you're about to untap, or whatever. But paying 5 just to draw 3 cards don't affect the board at all. I don't think that's going to fly, especially if we have a ton of aggro decks. Like, if you're in the control mirror, yeah, put it in the sideboard. But,
I mean, it's fine post yesterday or post Garolic, right? You had turn 6.
Yeah, I guess if you like end of turn yesterday, and then untap
Yeah,
Zodiac.
like it's fine.
I was testing a Diamond Sapphire control deck, which is terrible because my win condition was Angel or Guardian Angel. Which it was Guardian when it landed, and then I untapped with it was great because I would cast a Zodiac Divination afterwards. You draw 3 cards and gain life equal to all the casting costs, even though it gets lowered by one.
Which
it's
are my
still
last one?
ridiculous though. Like you're drawing 4 to 10 health every time that you cast it. So it was working well, but like I think if you're playing this, like Blood Sapphire is probably a good example of it. You have early removal, and then you have mid game removal. Like your early removal is like Crackling Rot, Murder, that kind of thing, and then you have Extinctions and stuff like that mid game. And then once you're there, you can cast a Zodiac Divination post Extinction or something like that, and you completely refill. I think it's actually a really good control card in that aspect. Like it's that's how you refuel after you've dealt with everything, and then you proceed to win the game and turn the corner.
Yeah, I mean, basically, with Guardian Angel makes Zodiac Divination into Sphinx's Revelation, right?
That sounds like it to me.
No, it's
No.
not.
Not close.
It's not even close.
No.
Well, I had to do it
Similar.
because the drug wasn't here to
It's close.
instantly destroy it,
No.
so I had to wait. I had to throw it in there.
I would say it's actually more like Treasure Cruise, but whatever.
No, not even close.
But yeah, so that's basically our view on Constructed for the past, for how little we've been playing with it. One thing, speaking of Constructed, we want to bring up is there was a giant change, moderately sized change, to the Hexex Open. We now no longer going to be a free tournament, which I know is unfortunate to lose the free to play element of it. However, to keep prizes as part of the thing you're playing for, we kind of need to have some amount of entry fee to enter it. So it's a $5 entry fee for our 500 platinum, and the first place now gets 100 platinum, second
Well,
place gets
$100 in platinum.
$100 in
Not
platinum, or
$1.
10,000 platinum,
That
5,000
one.
platinum to second place, 2,500 platinum to third and fourth place, fifth place gets 1,250 platinum. And 9th through 16th gets their money back at 500 platinum. Again, as the events grow, and if the more people we get, the more obviously platinum we then get into the prize pool, we will be raising the prize payouts. This is just from the past events we had. We crunched the numbers and felt this was the best way to pay out for what we had been getting for our events. The more they get, the bigger they get, the more you guys will get out of it. This is just a safe number to
Yeah,
start
we
with.
aren't making
So
anything off of
obviously,
this. Everything goes straight
yeah,
back
nothing.
into the tournament prizes.
Yeah,
The
which is very
thing
important to
is,
note.
that if we have a couple of good showings, like past our projections, we'll be able to raise the prize pool, and that'll make other people come, and we'll be able to raise it more and more and more. So we weren't like crazy in our expectations of how many people we were expecting or how many people we should need. So it's not out of the realm of possibility where, if we have a good first month, the next month could have higher prize payouts. And we would love to do that. We want to make our event, people want to go to it. They want to make some platinum. They want to be tested against some of the best people in Hex. And there will be some damn good people playing because the Blood Cup signups look pretty surprising as well, and all of the veterans that have been playing Hex are most likely going to be playing in our event if they don't have something else going on that weekend. Just,
And speaking,
value. I mean, there's no point not playing
yeah, I
it.
was going to say, speaking of nothing else happening that weekend, we should mention that We did change the January one from the 24th to the 17th because we found out that the VIP was going to be on the 24th instead of the 31st.
Well, they
So.
didn't actually announce it. It's speculated to be there because we thought it would be the 31st, figuring that's actually the last weekend of January, but it goes into part of February as well.
Yeah.
So people were saying it's probably going to be the 24th. So to avoid that potentially happening, we did move to the 17th to, avoid any possibility of having to choose between the
Yep.
two. But another thing we added to the open events is open series points. With these points, you get for participating. The better you do, the more points you get. And these points are then used to enter you into the Heavy Hitter Invitational, named after our good friend Heavy Hitter. So the points will be used to enter into that one, and that tournament will be free to enter. So you guys who have put in your money into, well, put your entry fees into the other tournaments will then be able to just get a free to play tournament that gives you then more plat. We'll scroll into that one so I can see the exact payout. So the exact payout for that one is first place gets 1500 plat, so $150. Second place gets 7500 platinum, which is $75. Math is hard. Third and fourth place gets 3000 plat each. Fifth through eighth gets 1500 plat each, and 9 through 16 gets 500 plat each. So basically, just being in the event, because it's a top 16 event, you get your free entry into the next events
And
because you
also,
get 500 free plat.
any leftover plat from the other first five opens at the end of the season all goes straight into the invitational at the end. So those prizes for the invitational are very likely to go up.
Oh,
Yes.
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 Almost certainly going to go
Yeah.
up.
And they could go up a considerable
Yeah,
amount. Like,
they could go up quite a bit.
it could get kind of silly.
Yeah.
And there could be some bloodshed at the invitational that goes
Yeah, there
on.
might be some serious fighting. Maybe some breakage of testing groups for that tournament. If it gets high enough.
I don't think that's gonna
That
happen.
makes it fun, right?
Yeah.
Like all everybody for themselves. Like I'm not testing with you. It's not happening.
If there's whatever,
Also,
$150 on the line.
again, important to note, us three for sure will not be participating in any of these, as well as the other of the seven original Hextechs: myself, Indormy, Karn, Phoenix, Havoc, Cyrus, and Mantic. Anyone, basically anyone who has access to the deck list that we will be given. Or the entry fees themselves. Anyone who has access to any of the plat pool will not have any participation in the event to avoid any kind of corruption. Is that the word
Well,
corruption to go for?
I mean, that's not gonna happen,
yeah.
but
I
like
mean, yeah, but it's so you guys have a sense of
we just,
security that we're not
yeah,
trying to like,
we just want everybody to feel all warm and fuzzy. That's all you gotta say.
Yeah.
Like, we don't benefit from anybody. That's stupid. So we're not gonna do that.
Yeah. Just important to note, because I know some people do like to know that we're not gonna be in these.
So what do you guys think? I got a question for you too. What do you guys think? What card are we going to see the most copies in the top eight of the Blood Cup? Like, what's going to be the most popular card in the top eight?
I mean, probably Gorpheus,
Mirror
right? Do you
Knight?
think it's going to be Gorpheus?
Maybe.
Mirror Knight's a good answer.
Mirror
I
Knight or
think that's a
Gorpheus,
that
yeah.
good answer.
I don't know. Gory Master?
Yeah, Gore
I
Master,
guess
really?
I guess Mirror Knight is probably the
Yeah, Mirror
safest
Knight's
pick because
probably
you're
the
going to need at
safest
least
pick.
two of the top
I don't know.
pick. Yeah,
Or maybe
probably.
Monsoon? No, but it's
Well,
also a unique, so it
Extinction?
won't see quite as much. So,
Yeah, but I mean, also, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people who don't have Monsoons yet
yeah,
because these
that's
are
fair.
still fairly early and they are about
Well,
$20
when
each.
if those
So
people
people
don't
will
have
likely jump on
Monsoons,
it.
are they gonna top eight?
I mean, yeah, you could definitely top it with
Yeah.
Monsoon.
Should have bought them early. I got them for $11 each.
Yeah, I'm kicking myself out
I'll
of that.
tell you.
I got mosses for eight, so I can't
Dude,
complain
one of
for
the
that.
cards. I got really lucky. I spent a good amount of money early on, but I made out because I have play sets of stuff that are really expensive right now. So.
One of the cards I've been really surprised has been underperforming a lot since set two came out is Soul Marble. Like I've had it in a couple of different decks that I've tested now, and Soul Marble is just like not at all what it used to be, just because of what you're up
Dude,
against. Like, you're just running
It's
up.
slower. It's too slow.
Yeah, it's just too slow. Like,
Yep.
against too many
Or you're
decks.
running into constant hate.
I
I
haven't been
mean, it's
running
I
into
don't think
constant hate. Going
both
to
boards
always
Soul
be too
Marble's
slow.
terrible in this format.
Yeah.
I will say that right now. Like, Soul Marble's not playable post board, unless maybe you're gonna keep in a couple of copies. Well, I mean, obviously, if you're not playing against Wild or, you know, other kind of the Diamond has Void Hate and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But if you're playing against Wild or Diamond, you can't keep in Soul Marble post board. You just can't.
Yeah, I mean, Gobblequid, which has helped out with troop wild based troop decks to have an answer to constants, both main and post reserves.
And technically, it's instant speed because you hold priority once it hits the battlefield. Like, they can counter it, but once it hits the battlefield, you can sack it and destroy the constant, so it's kind of nice.
I do wonder how many decks are going to try and fit in Crackling Vortexes, like just for value. You know?
That's tricky. It's tricky. Like, you want to. Like, even with a two-color deck, like, you maybe want to fit in one or two.
Yeah.
But sometimes that one or two resources could matter,
It
you
could
know,
cost you the
you
whole game.
hitting your curve
Yeah.
or losing the game. So it's kind of tricky. I think that the decks that are running troops dedicated to charge manipulated powers, I think that they're gonna have to find room for them.
Yeah, they have to run
I
the whole
think
four.
the decks that are gonna try and only run them for value off of their champion's charge power it might end up falling short for them. I don't think that that's where that card spot should be. I think that Crackling Vortex is kind of a dedicated card. I think that in monocolored decks, it's especially good. Like, especially, you know,
Yeah, I
two to
think it's
three
almost
copies
just a
because
free
you're
roll in
fine.
monocolor decks for sure.
Yeah. But like in a two-color deck, if you have a lower curve and you're trying to hit, you know, double thresholds, I don't think you can fit room for it necessarily, unless you're dedicated to going towards that side of the strategy of, you know, what Hex is now. So I think it's going to be tricky. Like, even two-color decks, or even without Crackling Vortexes, can sometimes be tricky to figure out
Yeah.
the mana base and to get it as consistent as you want to be, especially in something like a 6 or 7 or an 8 round tournament. So.
Yeah. Speaking of charges, though, I also wanted to ask you guys what you think of the new champions, mostly for constructed, but we can talk about limited too if you want.
Yeah, I meant to do that before when we were talking about the cards that we were impressed with in Limited. Honestly, what I think I'm going to see a good amount of play, despite being pretty high on the charge counter, is the dude that gets to resurrect dudes. I was thinking trying to play like a junk mid-range like reanimator deck with like Rise Again and that champion. And it seems like it could be pretty sweet. I mean, obviously getting the charges could be a little bit more awkward when you're playing three shards because you can't play Crackling Vortex. But I mean, I played him in the sealed, and he did a ton of work for me, bringing back like Valkyries and bringing back just like sweet value troops that come into play and do things. So I'm excited for that card, so I like that kind of stuff. But the best one's probably Sir Rowan, right? Or Sir Roland, the guy who inspires. I mean,
I don't
he.
know
I've.
about that.
If you go off sheer amount of
I think he's
playability.
really good in limited.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Extremely good in limited.
Yeah, that's mostly what I was referring to
I don't think he's good at all in constructed,
Yeah, I
and
don't
I
think
think
he's
that's
good
what
enough for
Dragon Rest
constructed.
get into.
Bunny Feast, man, telling you. Shoot Shinhair with that guy, boom. Plus one. You got a bunch of 1/1s.
Yeah, it's
Get
not
him.
good. It's not good. It's not good. Like, War Master Fazuko is the base power line, I think, of a charge power in Sun 2. For constructed. Like,
Card's awesome.
you're getting plus one, plus one. Yes, it's at the 5 spot, right? Yeah, 5 spot. Which is probably exactly where it needs to be. Because if it was at 4, it would be dumb.
Yeah, it's already.
And most of the time it's at 4 anyways, because you're usually backing up in constructed with Crackling Sprout or Crackling Bolt or Crackling Vortex. So like it's it that's like plus one to power, like fine, do it, go ahead, waste your charges. But I think that the one that's most undervalued right now out of the new one, actually it's probably a tie between Banoshi, which has started to see a little bit more play after the release weekend. I didn't see much during because I think people undervalued it. In the right deck, he can be really powerful.
Are you
with
talking about
effects
limited
and everything.
Now? Or
yes, well, yeah. I backtracked a little bit. Yes. Binoshi for limited was undervalued, but now I think that people are seeing his value there, and I think that's going to translate into Constructed as well.
I think Binoshi has real potential in Constructed. I think that card is really good, especially in like a Darkspire deck. Like, that's so much value. Like,
trigger get more? Trigger get more?
Yeah.
So what do you think, Card? Which is
Binoshi. That's what do you mean, what do I think?
I thought you were just feeding off of Phoenixes.
No.
Alright.
That's my pick.
Well then.
For Constructed. I tell you what though, I do want to try out the Daughter of the Stars.
Yes.
Just because it seems sweet. But it's 10. 10 is so much.
It's 10. Ten's even a lot when you're trying to get to 10.
Yeah.
I think the Mono Sapphire deck can play him and be fine with it.
I don't know, man. It's one, I mean, it's one time. You use it once.
Yeah, you get to use it once.
You're playing Crackling Vortex, you're playing the Crackling Wit to draw you some cards, you're hitting all your resource drops, essentially. So, I mean, it doesn't seem too difficult to get off in a Mono Sapphire
I guess
deck.
You could.
And you're already, having the sweeper bounces with Yesterdays and your Garalks and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, it doesn't bounce your things, which makes it a little bit worse than Yesterday, because the big value yesterday is bouncing back your Garalks to lock them out of the game, essentially.
Time Wave's pretty good, too.
You could also potentially... I think Time Wave's really good and limited. I don't think it's going to meet the cut in Constructed.
Really? You don't think it's playable even in Mono Sapphire? In Constructed?
I mean,
I think you just have better options.
Their entire field and yours.
Yeah, but the thing about Time Wave is you're playing against decks that are going to have less amount of threats. And you bounce them, and it takes them either two turns or more than two turns to replay those same threats. So it's a huge tempo swing if you can actually pull it off. You're not playing against a Shinhair deck because obviously you play something like Yesterday.
I think it's really good against midrange.
Yeah, it's really good against midrange.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to be able to play those two threats back out the next turn.
Yeah, you bounce like a Monsoon and a Master Moss and...
That's pretty brutal.
Then they have a 5 and a 6 cost troop in their hand. You know.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to depend on how the meta forms. Right now, the first Blood Cup, the first Hexus Open, both of those events, I would not see any Time Waves at all. Maybe one or two occasionally pop up.
Sorrow. You want Sorrow.
Yeah, I just see way more
Sorrow Heat Wave.
Yesterdays or
Heat Waves.
All that kind of stuff, and maybe as the meta tends to slow down, as it will probably do, it's going to start off being very fast, go to a more of a mid-rangey format, then go to a control-y format, and then it'll cycle through, almost certainly. So once it gets to that mid-rangey format, I'm sure you'll see more of them pop up, that's how it's going to get to control, and then they get their face beat in by Gorefeast again, and then that's the circle of life in Hex.
It is the circle of life. Trademark.
Yeah.
Disney.
What were you going to say, Carl?
I was going to say, if you guys had to pick one deck that you think is going to win the tournament, the Blood Cup, what do you think is going to win?
Side of the Sun, no chance.
Phoenix.
Not close.
I don't know. I want to say... I don't know, man. That's tricky. I'm calling Ruby Wild Aggro. I'm calling it. I think Wild Troops are the best troops early game in set 2. I don't think they even... I don't think any other shard lines up even close to Wild Troops in the early to mid game. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
I mean, Constantine is awesome.
It's ridiculous.
2-cost 3-3s are what I'm all about. Like, if I could have a tattoo on my body of a 2-cost 3-3, I'd probably do it.
Yeah.
Also, Counter is one of the... with the most probable control decks that are going to be there, which would be Mono Sapphire. Basically just counters their Garalks, So that's pretty sweet. I think, yeah, like you're saying, Wild has the troops right now. Like,
yeah,
like Warrior of Andronicus. It's yeah. at the power level of a rare.
Yeah.
And it's an uncommon. Like, that card, like, I get baffled when people pass me that card in Limited.
Easily first pickable.
Like, you can just attack with it and never use its power, and they can't block anyways because they're scared of you using its power. So, it's right at that threshold where when you pump it, it's out of, like, tradable range, like, profitable blocking range, which makes it amazing.
I actually wouldn't be surprised if just like a good stuff Blood Wild mid-range deck took down the tournament. Like just Monsoons and Master Mosses and just like the most powerful cards in set too. Just
Yeah, I mean, you have to kind of be... That would be the deck that would be prepared for the heavy aggression you're going to see.
Yeah.
So like that, if there is a deck that's going to sneak up and win it, and probably
it's both good against not dying to aggro and then taking over the mid game, and it's also very resilient to extinction. So I think the bad matchup would be Mono Sapphire for that. So it's just a matter of how much of that takes down how much of the other. So
I mean, you bring in Constantinus and like fixes that matchup right away, right? Like,
yeah,
boom.
I think in the coming weeks after this tournament, I think that we're gonna see a resurgence of tempo decks. I think they're gonna outweigh the aggro decks. They have a better game against the aggro decks, and they have a decent game against the mid range decks. You know, especially like Root Father alongside Sensei and Buccaneer.
I think Buccaneer is still an amazing card in this format.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like it's absolutely amazing. It's a bounce with a body to it.
Yeah.
It's
great. And it increases the cost. Everything. Does it all.
Yeah. It's absolutely amazing. And there's good tempo, like new tempo cards in set two. Like things, you know, you have like Trick of the Light you could play in a Wild Sapphire deck against a lot of things. Like I'm running Trick of the Light in my sideboard in my Ruby Wild.
You could always just time step Magistrate good. Your Buccaneer. Get another free bounce.
Exactly. Boom.
Boom.
Done.
Boom.
Game over. Replicator's Trance. Done. Just keep bouncing.
I don't know about that one. Not big on the trance.
I think it's fairly unlikely, but I guess you may see one or two of these. The dual shard Sapphire Wild Philgape with Splinter deck. A lot of people were excited to do that.
Oh yeah, when, Splinter of Azathoth, and then you just get a
just keep bouncing.
Yeah, you get a bounce every turn.
That was a deck that people were talking about early on, so I wouldn't be surprised to see some people just throw it together and just be like, I'm gonna play this because it seems sweet. You know, with
through Moss, Magistrate, being a free, Buccaneers.
Yeah, I mean,
you got kind of a deck.
I mean, Magistrates are kind of because you're playing one human.
It's only
humans. Oh, it only bounces humans. My bad.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Much better too.
Yeah.
It would be pretty stupid if you could bounce anything. if you could void anything and return it.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say that really. Flicker anything. But, yeah, it would be pretty bad. And sorry for my language, because I'm an idiot.
I do gotta say, I think you should go either very fast aggro, like dwarves, and have 4 power on the board on turn 1, or you should go mid-range for this tournament.
Yep, I agree.
I think anything else is not gonna cut
not
it.
Not viable.
Vampire Kings are still very good cards.
Yes, that's mid-range.
I mean, like doing turn before when I was playing the Battle Aura deck, like turn 3 Vampire Kings were awesome. Like turn 3 bosses, then turn 4 Vampire Kings, even sweeter, if not just
as still sweet. A great card.
Yeah, you still got plenty of really good things you can do with Wild Blood, which I'm just upset honestly. I can't play in like a tournament for at least another 3 months. Like I'm not gonna play until like the February 1 of the Blood series of the Shard series. So that's
why not,
I'm,
man.
It sucks. I'm about to register my own and just be
there's
an alternate
always
account.
Always 8 mans.
There aren't always 8 mans. You know why? Because no one plays with them.
Well, that's because of sets new. I'd say after this weekend, there's going to be 8-man
yeah,
firing off.
Probably.
There's going to be scheduled constructors firing off.
Yeah, I'm so excited for constructed, just in general. It's yep, just yep. so good.
I just can't wait yep. to sight the sun on my way through a tournament. It's going to be awesome. I have just so many mad people.
Boring the hell out of people all
it's
day.
It's going to be so many sleeping opponents. It's going to be sweet.
F8.
Alright guys, well that's going to do it for us this week. As always, have a good night, a pleasant tomorrow, and we will see you guys next time.